Speak of the devil, here's Scott Mitchell, our TSN 1050 Jays reporter. What's the latest here, Scott? What are you hearing in terms of the Jays and them waiting to hear from the federal government on whether or not they can even come up here?
Well, still status quo, still a big holding pattern. They've convened down in Dunedin today, going through testing. They're arriving there, and they're just still in wait and see mode. And the catch right now is what we've talked about for the last kind of week or so. It's the fact that the federal government and the Ontario government, they are hesitant to open the border to visiting teams. And this is the request and the ask from the Blue Jays. It's not just for training camp at this point. It's for to play games up here, and to once they arrive, this is where they're going to stay. And it's a real interesting situation, because the perception of opening the borders to the Baltimore Orioles and the Tampa Bay Rays and the New York Yankees to come in for 2, 3, 4 days, whatever it is, it's not a good look. And that's what they're working through right now. And there's still a whole lot of confidence that this is going to get done and the Blue Jays will be up here. But it's definitely at the point now where it could affect how many days they get on the field, because workouts are supposed to start around the league on Friday. And right now it looks like the Jays may be a day or two behind.
Scotty, give me your best PR spin then. So explain it to me, because I might be one of the guys who thinks, you know what, everyone else has to do with a 14-day quarantine. It's very different than a hockey bubble. They'll be in and out. They won't have time to really kind of lock it in for 14 days. So explain to me why they should be allowed to have visiting teams come in and out of Toronto like that. What's the Blue Jays' reasoning, logic behind their argument?
Well, I don't have an explanation for that, and I can't spin that, because even a week and a half ago, I thought Dunedin was going to be the spot, and obviously the surge in COVID cases down there changed the Blue Jays' thinking, and this is why they're in this position right now, essentially begging the federal government to lax these quarantine rules and the border rules for them. So, their pitch is that this team is, Canada's baseball team. They're safer up here. Every other team is playing in their major league park that we know of at this point, and they want to do the same. And obviously the border in the way is just a huge obstacle. And I don't know that you can make a case to allow these guys to come up here, because I think you can conduct spring training 2.0. You can bring the Jays up. You can have them in the hotel. You can test them. They're up here for 3-ish weeks or so. But visiting teams, I just don't know how you police it. You can test these guys as much as you want. You can tell them to stay in the hotel. Mike, you know as well as anybody, Toronto is a destination city for athletes. And, you could say, hey, somebody will recognize these guys out, and then, everything falls apart. I don't know if you're recognizing the 25th man on the Baltimore Orioles roster that is, dying to hit a patio once he sees what's happening in Toronto, because we're doing pretty well here. So, look, I can't spin it and make a case for this. And it's going to be interesting to see what the spin is and what the explanation is from the federal government when this is finally approved, which is still the expectation.
With Scott Mitchell, our TSN Jays reporter. So I saw earlier this afternoon the Tigers signed Spencer Torkelson, the guy they took first overall in the draft. And I think the expectation is he's going to play, and he might be their best player. Like, they're terrible. He might step right in and bat cleanup or something of that sorts anyway. And we wait for Austin Martin to see what's going to happen. In retrospect, I read your article that came out a couple of days ago about the impact these kids could end up having on this season, and we all expect Nate Pearson to perform at some point. Won't be out of the gate, because they're going to manipulate the time, but at some point he's going to pitch, and I think he'll pitch well. But you suggested nothing will happen, nothing that would lead to Austin Martin actually picking up a bat and taking hacks at the major league this summer. Why do you suggest that?
I mean, look, there's a number of reasons, and even Spencer Torkelson, I'm going to wait and see until they actually put him on the roster in a major league game. But there's a lot of wrinkles to it. I mean, the first thing is, when you look at Austin Martin, yes, he's a very advanced college player. He comes from a great program at Vanderbilt. He's a guy that, you could conceivably stick in a major league game, and he probably wouldn't look out of place. But when you think about the fact he hasn't played a game since March 11th, there were some rumblings that he was dealing with a little bit of an injury at Vanderbilt this season as well. Then you combine it with the fact, why would you start his service clock this year when There's probably a guy like Ruben Tejada, a guy like Joe Panic, a guy like Santiago Espinal who has AAA time. I just don't see why you would start his clock and really go down that road when you don't really have to and you don't know how he's going to play. It's going to be interesting when you see some of these teams and if they make decisions like that, if that becomes the norm. You know, I would really think for any of these kids other than Nate Pearson to really be an option, you would have to have a perfect set of circumstances in terms of injuries, the virus taking a toll on the roster, as well as the fact that they probably have to be in contention in August and say, look, this is our best option. Other than that, I just don't know why you'd start his service clock when you really don't know what he can provide. And a double-A assignment would have been aggressive for this kid right out of the draft.
And that makes so much sense to me as a sports analyst, but as a fan, you're like, I want to see the first-round pick. I want to see him sign. I don't care about the service clock, but you care, whatever it is, 7 years from now when he is able to leave a year earlier than you wanted him to. So that does make sense, although we had his coach on, and his coach was quite bullish on his ability to step in right away, so we shall see. I was asking early, Scott, they may have to do it because they will be here up at the Dome doing their summer training, spring training 2.0. What would be different about the facilities at the Dome, one field, one kind of just one general ballpark that they would have to try to do their entire spring training rotation in? Would they be limited in any way because they don't have the 6, 8, 10, 12 diamonds that they would have down in Dunedin?
Well, it's not ideal. You know, there are probably some ways they're going to have to change things up. The easiest thing is they'll probably just 60 players or 58 right now, they'll separate them into two groups and they'll do two different sessions to get these guys on the field working out. And that's not a problem when you do it over the course of a day. And I think, but yeah, logistically, you know, you don't have gang mounds, you don't have, you know, all of the batting cages that you do down in Dunedin. And, you know, we were down there in February, which feels like about 10 years ago now, but even with their revamped facility that the minor league facility, it's absolutely beautiful. And they've got so many resources down there. So that's why they wanted to go down there originally, because you're right, it is ideal down there, but they'll be able to make it work with 58 players. You put two groups, you know, one in the morning, one in the afternoon, maybe, and then you go from there. It's just they'll have to structure things a little bit differently. But you know, this whole thing we're going through right now is structured differently, and teams are going to learn on the fly what they can do, what they can't do, and every single major league team is doing it in their home ballpark. So it's essentially going to be a glorified pregame setting where you take BP and they're doing infield, outfield, and you know, the pitchers are out in the bullpen, and you know, they'll do their best to get ready for this 60 game sprint.
You mentioned it, 58 players. They had the ability to bring up 60 in the player pool. Leaving those two spots allows for some flexibility. Maybe one of them would be Austin Martin if they lock him in just to make sure that he's around the club or doing something and you know, working out and seeing pitches and so on and so forth. But how much flexibility do you think that allows for, and what do you see them potentially doing? Let's say Martin doesn't sign and they have two more spots that they can fill. How do you see that playing out?
Yeah, I think Martin would be one of them. And going back to our previous conversation, I mean, I hope they use this guy. It would be a great story. But, you know, it's just the odds are against
it. It's not their MO. That's not how they operate. Yeah. They're not going to do it.
Yeah, they're a very pragmatic organization, very, very conservative in terms of their promotion. I just don't really see a reason. But it's interesting. We're going to see there's going to be a lot of conversations like that across baseball with a lot of prospects. And, you know, it's going to depend on team circumstances, things like that, and how ready they think these kids are. But so I expect him to be added when he's signed. And now that a couple more of the top five draft picks got signed today and yesterday, he should be the next domino once Scott Boras figures out what the market is. So I would expect he's added to be around the team. And then really they wanted to leave a couple spots open. You don't know who's going to be released around baseball. There could be some veteran guys. If you lock in that 60, the only way you can drop down is to release a guy. So they just wanted to have a little bit of flexibility. They don't know what's going to happen with the testing. They're expecting a lot of positive tests. So having those two spots, you could conceivably add, say, a second baseman if all of your second basemen are all of a sudden on the COVID-19 injured list. So it's just a little bit of flexibility, but I think Martin will get one of those, and then you'll see likely probably a veteran guy signed at some point once they figure out where they need depth.
Scott, any chance that we've heard different players around the league, you know, opting out or not going to play, whether it's Zimmerman and Washington or whoever it might be, any chance of any Jays not willing to play this summer?
Well, we asked Mark Shapiro that on Friday on the conference call. He said no, he hadn't heard and didn't expect at this point. Obviously, that could change. I think when you look at the Blue Jays roster, though, it's a young group of kids. They're all going to want to play for the most part, and a lot of them have something to prove, too. When you look at some of the guys that have opted out, they've made their money a little bit. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's health concerns, and I haven't heard of anyone with any health concerns on the Blue Jays side. You know, it's going to be interesting. Dave Hudgens is their oldest coach. You know, we'll see what happens, you know, if he's got any reservations about this when we're finally able to talk to these guys. But, yeah, at this point, no, but I guess you never know. And really the interesting part is once players start getting into the testing and they start seeing the protocols, you know, does somebody surprisingly opt out after saying, hey, look, I don't know, like what's going on here. I don't feel safe. So we'll see. I think you might see a little bit of that across baseball as we get into the next kind of 2 weeks here.
All right, Scotty. Well, we'll see where it goes. Hopefully they start playing at some point, and you'll be all over it as always. We look forward to it. We'll catch up down the road. Thank you for doing this.
All right, fellas. Take care.
Scott Mitchell, our TSN Jays reporter.